You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, the childcare situation in Smithers and indeed across the province is at an all-time low and embroiled in the worst childcare crisis in a generation. Although the federal and provincial governments have promised $10 a day daycare over the past 2 years, there are still hundreds of families in Smithers alone struggling every day to find affordable, reliable childcare. Over the past year, Smithers Council has been working with partners and consultants to draw up a game plan in the hopes of cultivating the right conditions for more childcare spaces to be added in the community and for new opportunities for more daycares to open up. However, it is a bit of a quagmire for town council. Strictly speaking, childcare is not a municipal responsibility, but in times of crisis, all hands must be on deck. That's why Smithers has developed a childcare plan to help alleviate the situation or at least advocate to higher levels of government to take action. Last year, Smithers Council entered into negotiations with the YMCA of BC to possibly develop a new daycare in town, but that is at least a year and a half away from coming to fruition. Last night, the final report of the Smithers Childcare Plan and results from the community survey were presented to Council as they move forward, doing whatever they can to address the childcare shortage and better support families in town. As we've seen time and time again, without childcare, many families are having to choose between work, livelihoods, and providing for their families, or staying home to care for their children. This adds enormous pressure on households trying to make ends meet, especially during economic uncertainty. Although childcare is not town council's responsibility, they find themselves wading into a deepening predicament with no clear path forward. Today, we'll speak with Smithers Mayor Gladys Attrill, as well as councillors Ray and Patterson, to better understand where this is going and what impact can council have on the childcare crisis, if any. But first, Allison Watson is a community planner with Plan 54 Consulting who has been doing the bulk of the research trying to find a viable way forward for Smithers Town Council in addressing the childcare crisis. Although she's helped develop the plan, there is still a lot of work to be done to create more daycare spaces in Smithers, which could take years. Stay with us.
Allison Watson, project consultant
with
Plan 54 Consulting, based out of Smithers.
Allison, maybe give me a quick overview. You've spent some time doing outreach and a survey around childcare and the plan here in Smithers. What did you present this evening? What were some of the key points of the path to victory, so to speak, of being able to provide or find more spaces for childcare in Smithers?
Yeah, so over the last year, we've been working to implement the Smithers Child Care Plan, which included 13 recommendations for ways that the town of Smithers can support child care space creation. So over the last year, we've been working with town staff as well as the community to really dig into these the hard and soft ways we can do this as a community. A lot of the childcare issues have been around a long time, and this is about being proactive and looking at what we can do at the local level to better support childcare space creation. We had a community review of the different strategies that are in place, as well as an incentive policy that's being considered by council right now. From the community, we had 120 people provide feedback, and overwhelmingly we heard that childcare remains a huge issue in our community. Parents aren't being able to return to work, some are having to leave the community, it's stressful for families. So this has been a common thread ever since the creation of the childcare plan a number of years ago. We heard overwhelming support for whatever we can do locally to do in order to better support childcare spaces. We heard about the need for fairness and transparency in local processes, just to make sure everyone's aware and has the opportunity to get involved. Definitely throughout the process, we realized that one new center isn't going to meet Smithers childcare needs. So we really want to encourage anyone who's interested in learning more about the provincial space creation funding to get in touch and start continuing these conversations. There's local groups that have land. There's other potential operators that have ideas. And a big part of this is about connecting people and ideas to make things happen.
You had a community engagement opportunity a few weeks back at the old church there, and I popped in really quick, and it looked like there's quite a number of ideas. What else are you hearing from people in the community, or what did you hear from people in the community? Obviously, this is an acute situation, but the time is now, and it seems like there's hundreds of families that are without childcare, and in one situation or another, they're either paying really expensive private childcare or they're cutting themselves out of the workforce. So what did you hear some of the concerns and possibilities from some of the folks in the community?
Yeah, we definitely heard about these challenges that families are experiencing. We heard a lot from parents, ECEs, childcare providers on kind of this awkward place where childcare is sitting right now, because it is under provincial jurisdiction, but there's private operators that don't get the same support as, say, a nonprofit operators. And in small northern communities like Smithers, a lot of the private operators are your bread and butter operators. So this is a current gap. Childcare also recently moved into the Ministry of Education. But yet there's private businesses operating childcare. So it's still a bit of an awkward fit. I would say the province has done an amazing job in making strides in trying to improve the situation. I think there needs to be some reflective process around that in terms of evaluating what's worked and what isn't working. So that advocacy piece, we heard loud and clear around there's some creative ideas still floating around of what's being done in other provinces in terms of how we can continue turning the dial, but realizing we're doing all we can locally, but a lot of the shifting lies within the provincial government.
I guess the million-dollar question, if things go according to plan, some of what you presented this evening, when could we see more childcare spaces in Smithers, or is it even going to happen? Because it sounded like this evening there are some things going on. The YMCA is involved as well, discussions, but clearly nothing is happening just yet, and the timeline may be a little ways out.
Yeah, you definitely want to talk to town staff and council regarding the YMCA negotiations. A lot of this stuff with Smithers is really looking at the gardener analogy, where the town is not a provider of childcare, but we're really trying to create the right conditions in order to grow the seeds for new spaces, so to speak. So it's a multi-prong approach, really, with the goal to make developing spaces attractive, minimize the barriers that might be locally, and just set the stage for those new businesses to open.
That was Allison Watson from Plan 54 Consulting. Coming up next, my conversations with Smithers Mayor Gladys Attrill, as well as Councillors Ray and Patterson.
Gladys Attrill, Mayor.
Gladys, the discussion this evening, one of the discussions this evening circulated around, obviously, the childcare plan, being presented with the plan and moving forward. A lot of things kind of going on, some ideas, but I was curious with what you finished the meeting off with, and the caveat that childcare is not necessarily a municipal responsibility. It is not a municipal responsibility, but you guys seem to be trying to wade into this crisis that we seem to find ourselves in. So maybe explain some of your comments at the end there, that this isn't a town responsibility, but you guys are wading into this, trying to provide conditions to see about creating new childcare spaces. How does this all work?
Well, I'm going to forget some of the origin grants, but there was money available for the childcare plan a couple of years ago, and it linked. So there was funding available to municipalities to do the work. So municipalities were linked in. Now there's the spaces money. And so there is a way for not-for-profits to work with municipalities to, you know, see if there's some public land to do this work. So municipalities are being linked in by the province in many things, and it's not that I don't actually even understand why, but in this particular community, we're very small, and we don't have a lot of land to provide for things, so be it childcare or housing or anything else, and yet the province is making that connection that local governments should participate, and this is one way, is through this land support. So I think this council's been feeling it, not just in the childcare file, but on the housing file as well, that we are being connected as a local government to these needs. And so while I can get that philosophically, it creates a lot of challenge at a local government where we're very small, we don't have a lot of land, and we don't have the financial resources to come up with all the things that the community rightfully wants to have. So it's a challenge, and I said it because these things take a long time, and people may wonder at the reticence of council to not just jump into something like this. But you could see the debate over the tax exemption, over what are we going to do about land. Like, these things don't come without a cost to the local government, and that's either money or time or both in trying to advance something that, you know, much of the community wants and needs.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Thank you.
Frank Ray, town councillor.
Frank, there was a couple of interesting things in this debate just now at the Committee of a Whole meeting around the child care plan that you brought up. And I'll start it with the caveat of that child care is not a municipal responsibility, but it seems to have been pushed a little bit or nudged a little bit towards municipal responsibility by the provincial government. One of the things that you brought up, though, is that this idea of the RTE, the tax exemption, trying to incentivize any of these potential businesses to start up childcare in Smithers. Explain kind of your position on this, and where do you see town fitting into this whole discussion around childcare?
So first of all, an RTE is definitely something that the towns can do to incentivize anything they would like. I have kind of a philosophical bent around not incentivizing people that are making money by building buildings, etc. But aside from that, we just canceled the permissive tax exemption, and I didn't really like the message it sent, that we're willing to exempt some things and not others, which was the whole reason of getting rid of it. It was a very wildly inconsistent. And the point was made tonight that we're trying to get childcare spaces in town, and that is one thing. There is a tax cost to the taxpayer because the increased assessment gets passed along, but it is one thing that the town can do without really getting into major budget items.
Yeah. One of the other points you brought up was that, you know, once you create these services, someone's got to pay for them. Municipalities only have so many taxes they can acquire from residents and businesses, and you're already struggling to deal with some of the services provided by the town. From your perspective, if the town was to incentivize and kind of push forward with some of what you're talking about, this work with the YMCA and whatnot, where does that leave taxpayers? How are we going to pay for this? Again, this is not a responsibility of municipalities, but it seems to be getting downloaded to you guys to help or at least find a path forward.
Yeah, so it's very early days in working with that, and it really depends on whether we can provide land, whether we can, and sometimes the cost isn't just, it's opportunity cost as well, and that's with anything. We have a very limited amount of land left.
Yeah.
So I just think that sometimes we there's nothing wrong with saying in this town, childcare is a priority and we need to pay for it. But we then need to have the conversation, what is something that we don't find as a priority? Because all we tend to do is just add and add and add. And I'm worried, for example, this year, the childcare isn't going to impact the bottom line. But this year, we're already looking at a fairly large increase. And some of the things that we've added to what I consider to be our core responsibilities that are not other government's responsibilities, I'm worried we're going to beggar those again in order to pay for some things that aren't core. And that's just a conversation that's always ongoing.
I guess just the last thing for you, Frank, there was a number of letters that came to town with concerns about this situation and obviously encouraging or advocating that we need to find a solution to this, and a lot of it having to do with parents either paying through the nose for childcare or them not working, having to take time off. And I know in my family situation, we're there. We're both working part-time to have some childcare. What would you say to citizens here in Smithers who are struggling and looking to the town for help?
Obviously, first of all, I'm in a minority when I am against some of these things. I represent a certain voice, and there were some comments saying that, you know, don't get into this, it's going to be a rabbit hole. I think for me, I'm not answering the question directly. So the direct answer to the question is that Town Council, right from the word go, we've recognized that it's a bad situation. It's a bad situation everywhere. Society has come to a point where you can no longer have that option to even have one parent work at this time and one parent work. That option was still kind of available. It was obviously available when I was growing up. But the way society's evolved, and I'm not saying whether it's good or bad, like, I understand that it's hard to find childcare, but it's... My bent is that it's hard to find money for all the other things, and the more we have to charge in taxes, the more these things become, it's kind of a feedback loop. So, but every year at UBCM, we're in talking to ministers. We've already talked, some of the recommendations in there, like, for example, advocating for the spaces in the college and stuff. I wouldn't say that it's been directly effective, but, you know, the dual credit, for example, that we didn't go with that idea, but we said part of the problem is not even the spaces, it's that we don't have anybody to do childcare in town. And there's been some uptake on that, and we'll continue to keep going, but every year we're there asking for things. And, you know, I would imagine if we go in October again, that will probably be, or September, we're probably going to be asking, okay, you know, there's a lot of talk about it. There's only money here right now. Yeah. That's not obviously going to be good enough for our community or anybody's community. If this is the path that we've chosen, where the province provides money to build buildings, then they need to continue that program. So that's the kind of advocacy that we can do. And I think, you know, I think the other thing that people need to know is that we have our discussions around the table, and once council's decided on a decision, we go as a team to advocate for that decision, regardless of whether we agreed with it in the first place or not. We go with the direction of council, and that's what we'll be advocating for.
All right. Thanks, Frank.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
That was Smithers Councillor Frank Ray. Up next, my conversation with Smithers Councillor Genevieve Patterson.
I'm Genevieve Patterson. I'm a councilwoman with the town of Smithers.
Great, Genevieve. Thanks so much. Of course, we just had this discussion and debate at a committee of the whole meeting here at Town Hall around the childcare issue in Smithers. This has been an acute issue for some time now. And it is in crisis mode, has been for a while. There are over 25 letters just in the package that came to the town council, people who have concerns, who don't have childcare or are looking for childcare. And one of the comments that was made earlier that a lot of the time in this kind of situation, economically speaking, women have to kind of take themselves out of the workforce to provide the childcare. You're pregnant. You're expecting in the next few months. where is your head at with this business and thinking down the line that you're going to need some childcare fairly soon? And it looks like any of these plans are not great, but there's also a bit of a time crunch here. 2 years, you know, before we could see anything kind of come to fruition. So what's going on in your head in this debate, and what would you like to see the town move forward with?
Well, thanks for that question. I heard you say the word crisis, and I would just say I'll start by saying in my term in council thus far, seeing how many issues are at a crisis point now, whether it's housing, climate, childcare. So I think to your point around, you know, trying to have a conversation about what's possible at a municipal level, I would just say one of the things that I think was really daunting to me when I started at the municipality, especially because in my day job I work for the province, is that municipalities are really bound by either applying for grant and aid programs from the province or raising taxes, which I think is incredibly difficult because then you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. And to your point, we have a significant amount of people in our community who write to us and are desperate. And I can absolutely understand that desperation because, you know, it's hard for me even to enjoy necessarily being excited about pregnancy when I think about all of those things that are a crisis and what am I bringing my child into. In addition to thinking about, well, financially, as a single mother, how am I going to be able to afford childcare if I can even get it? Because to your point, I've called around and the likelihood of that happening is it's likely not going to happen. So then I have to start thinking about, well, how am I going to be able to support myself if I decide to not return to work? I mean, I can't afford to not work. So I think it's sad because it does take away, I think, from that enjoyment of being pregnant. And I actually worry about, you know, what the significant implications are then to just the joy of our community and how we support one another. Because I think I'd be lying if I said, well, at a municipal level, we're going to fix this. And I think another part of me sort of takes a step back and says, well, we're doing the best that we can with what we've got. But to be blunt, when I look at this policy and I commend staff for the significant amount of work that they've done, what I don't see, which I think I'm a bit frustrated with, is at the federal and provincial level saying, well, how are we going to incentivize early childhood educators to take on these types of roles when they can't afford to live? I mean, when you look at the average income of an ECE, I don't even understand how they afford to survive or live every day. Mm-hmm. So how can we put that expectation on them to say, well, if, you know, we give you permissive tax exemptions or we give you a discount on, you know, your lease rate, is that going to make a significant difference for you to be able to manage a space of 25 children? Some may have special needs. And to your point, it's, I think it's not just about how it impacts not only women, but, you know, even fathers or just parents in general. I think it's sad to say, make that trade-off of, do I have a family or do I just continue to work when the cost of living is still unaffordable anyway. I mean, it's just overwhelming that at this point, everything feels like a crisis. Yeah.
You know, granted that, of course, municipalities can't run deficits. You only have so much to work with in your budget. We've already seen tax increases across the board, and more services obviously mean more taxation. In particular, for this kind of debate, it looks like it could be a couple of years away from coming to fruition, this one in particular with the YMCA, discussions going on with the YMCA. Where's that kind of at, and where do you see this going? Where does town kind of fit into this? We talked about them, you guys trying to create the atmosphere, cultivate the right atmosphere so that businesses can flourish or start up, the incentive programs, tax exemptions, all this business. But the time is now. So where do you see this going? What's kind of the next step?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think, you know, learning more about permissive tax exemptions and how that may or may not support communities, I think that aside, to me, when you do the calculation, you're not actually talking about a significant amount of money. So I worry that between the various levels of government, we're just generally not doing enough. But I would just say, like, specific to the why, I think that's a good example of what is possible. You know, I looked to the presentation that was done here tonight by staff and our consultants to see, you know, how they made something out of nothing. So I just commend them for their tremendous amount of work, because to be honest, that doesn't reflect a lot of what council has done. I mean, we just obviously debate that and endorse it or not. But my hope is that, you know, what is it, like 100 spaces that might be potentially available, we're still going to be short 100, and that doesn't consider how many more families might be moving to the community. So again, I mean, I'm hopeful, but I still have like a significant number of questions around that specific agreement that we have with the Y, and how the policy will actually help to support existing service providers, because I know we have a lot, and I think that we should be considering how do we invest in those that are here. And I know we talked a little bit about the New Horizons daycare, which I thought was a great example, and that they have actually two locations. I learned more about that today actually when I called them. So I guess I'm just going to be looking forward to the future to see what more potentially I would say the province can do to help to support local economies instead of just putting it all back on municipalities. Yeah.
Just last thing for you, you mentioned it there. You've already made calls. You know, you're several months away from bringing this child into the world, but you're already making calls. And according to some of the letters and obviously other folks I've spoken to, some are getting their names on the list before they've even conceived. And so it's kind of nuts to think about it that way. Before a child is even, you know, growing, coming into this world, they're already on a list for childcare. Tell me about your kind of situation and how you're feeling. What did you do today to kind of get the ball rolling?
Yeah. It's actually a great question, and to be honest, the only reason I had thought about doing this was I talked to a colleague of mine who lives in Prince George, because obviously this isn't a unique crisis to our municipality. So him and his partner, they had twins. They put their twins on the list when I think she was just coming out of the first trimester, and the twins just finally got into daycare, and they're three. So I think it didn't sort of trigger me to think about that if I hadn't learned from other parents who had said, you know, this is kind of a crisis, just a heads up. So for me, I think I try to take solace in recognizing that because everything is a crisis, I can really only take one step ahead, one foot in front of the other. And so, you know, I am planning out my budget, which is kind of crazy, but 2-3 years in advance to say, okay, well, if I cannot return to work, what does that look like? How am I going to survive? So I did some research on, you know, what's available from the provincial and federal governments. And I would say they are doing something, which is better than nothing. Can they do more? Yes. Can I expect that they will do more? I'm not sure, because I think, like I said, everything at this point is a crisis. And I think they're just trying to do a little bit of good for every single one of these crises. But I think it's really sad, right? Like I think about the Wet'suwet'en practice where they say, put the children at the center of everything that you do. And I totally agree with that, because I think we want to be the leaders by showing them that we care enough and that the next generation will carry that forward and carry that forward. So one of the things that I really deeply think about is at the end of the day, well, it's not about the money or it's not about my job. It's about how can I give quality of life to that child? So how can I be present? How can I not stress out or worry about time or money? And but I think it's just sad that that's the reality that we live in now. We have to worry about those things. Can I afford to put food on the table? So I'm trying to not get stressed out about it and plan the best that I can. Yeah, and just hope that slowly over time, things will get better. Yeah.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.